Okay, let's just very briefly follow up and find out what happened to these two women, and then we'll just briefly get some reaction from the faculty and move on to Adjutant Herceptin. Bill? Actually, Bill was in the auditorium when this was presented and came back, and I think she was one of the first patients you saw after ASCO?
Yeah, we actually ended up treating her with paclitaxel and bevacizumab, and she started in late May, so this was post-ASCO excitement. And she had a very nice partial response and was treated for about 9 or 10 cycles, very little toxicity, except she started to develop some neuropathy. And last month, after 9 or 10 cycles, her response was plateauing out by CAT scan and by her CA2729, so I decided to stop her treatment now and switch her over to letrozole.
So very common strategy oncologists use, try to induce a response with chemotherapy now with bevacizumab, and then going on to maintenance hormones, particularly when somebody having symptoms. We could spend the next 5 hours talking about cost and reimbursement, but we're not going to do that. But just to give you a snapshot of how these kinds of therapies get integrated into practice, can you talk a little bit, Bill, about what happened in terms of reimbursement?
Well, this patient had commercial insurance through the United Healthcare, and they initially approved this patient's treatment, started treatment, paid one claim, then denied claims and said it was off-label. We already, of course, enrolled the patient at the very beginning of the Genentech program they call SPOC, and we fought it with letters and trying to find literature. By the way, right after ASCO, it's hard to find literature when you can't even find the abstract.
There were no abstracts.
Late-breaking abstracts.
It was so late-breaking, there were no abstracts.
The chair of the education committee put this all together in a two-week period.
And we were able to prevail. The patient had to pay a couple cycles, but ultimately the insurance company acquiesced and paid.
You told me you showed them her scans to encourage them.
We sent a letter saying the patient's having this response and so forth, and that's hard for them to turn that down in that setting.
And that ties into what happened with Dennis's patient.
Yeah, just to move ahead. So, in light of ECOG 2100, we would have liked to have started her on Taxol and bevacizumab, but appeals to her insurance company in our area were repeatedly rejected. And we ultimately started her just on single-agent Taxol weekly, to which she did well at first. There was a diminution in her tumor marker, a diminution in her palpable disease. And this persisted for about the first 6 to 7 weeks, after which things slowly started to pick up again. I restaged her, actually, the day before coming down here to Florida because her markers were going up and her performance level was slipping. And a PET scan and a CAT scan now showed that her disease was really taking quite a leap. And her mediastinal nodal disease was now very extensive. Her chest wall lesion had doubled in size. And she now had extensive bone metastasis, which she did not have at the start of treatment. And so the question is where to go now.
Can you just say what you did?
I'll tell you what I did. The tempo of her disease was such that we bit the bullet. I switched her to Taxotere, capecitabine, and Avastin.
Quick comment, Joyce, about both cases.
I generally find that in patients whose disease has recurred on an anthracycline and who are relatively taxane resistant, she didn't do so great, that I don't find capecitabine works as well in that setting as it does in some others. So I probably would have treated her with a platinum-based regimen. Etoposide cisplatin is what I usually do in these triple negatives that I think are refractory to anthracyclines and taxanes. I think I would definitely have been wanting to add the bevacizumab, though. I think that's something that I definitely would be interested, particularly this biology being so highly proliferative. I'd be very interested in that and would certainly have done that as well. So I just found I love capecitabine, but I don't find it works terrifically well in anthracycline and taxane type refractory. You could argue she's not terribly anthracycline refractory. She did have a disease-free interval of 3 years, but she's not particularly taxane sensitive. So I probably would have gone to a platinum-based regimen with her.
George, any comment about the two cases?
I probably would have used capecitabine. I actually haven't seen a real data breakdown on capecitabine by triple negative versus HER2 positive versus ER positive. The reality is that this is a patient who's getting third-line therapy for metastatic breast cancer. And if you ask, is she going to do really well with anything at this point, the answer is no, that virtually everything is going to give her a response rate that's probably 25% or lower.